unspeakable things you've done. Fix your eyes on the mountain, let the past be dead and gone. Come on, saints and sinners, you can't outrun God. Whatever you've done can't overcome the power of His blood. If you're lost and wondering, come stumbling in like a prodigal child. See the walls stop crumbling, let the gates of
there, cause ain't no mistake you be here. That car you drove got steered here, and it's time you start seeing clear. See the glory you can't handle, so please remove your sandals. And if you're lucky, you may catch a glimpse like Moses did of the benevolence, the benefits of reverence, and all the gifts that come with it. See, I walked away, came back, prodigal son, I've been that. Wasted years trying to chase that, I but never smoke crack. I'm laid back, my pants slack, skateboard, snowboard, all of that. Illegal graph, I paid that. My hip hop, that's backpack. You don't know, yes, the king's back. So crack sky, let it fly. The redemption of the glorified, petrified. If you take a look, I'm burning up. That's how I cook, already one. Just read the book. Can't be scared, can't be shook. Gave me peace, these streets look, I shine bright. Can't hide light, city on a hill, that's my right. Ain't lost no more, ain't wandering. You see these walls, they crumbling. So let the gates open wide, let the weary come inside. Let the gates open wide, let the weary come inside. Say, let the gates open wide, let the weary come inside.
Things to come rap, didn't you? Good morning. Good to have you. I mean, did you hear that? Love is here to lift you up. Let the past be dead and gone. Whatever you've done can't overcome the power of the blood. It's all about His blood, folks. Man, that's awesome. I actually got to listen. I listened to that about 6 times this morning prior to it. Woo, I was having a blast. Welcome. If you're visiting for the first time, thank you for being here. Those that are from Panama City all the way up visiting, thank you for being here. It's great to see you guys. Being in the house of God, especially on Easter Sunday. I tell you, it's a Super Bowl for Christians. I'm telling you, it's good stuff. Christ paid the cost. He paid the cost for us. No power can separate us from mercy and grace. Those are some of the lyrics of the next song. Let's worship this morning. Let's enter into His presence, because Calvary covers it all.
Savior carry. Salvation complete, forever I'm free. Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My sin and shame don't count. Praise to the
my sin and shame don't count anymore. Oh, praise to the one who has ransomed my soul. Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My sin and shame don't count anymore. All praise to the one who has ransomed my soul.
Man, aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad? Today we celebrate Easter, the day that Christ was risen, but it was all there on Calvary that saved us from our sins. I was thinking about it this morning, about just when you say our sins, I thought about my past. God loved me through everything. Through those sins, He still loved me. And He paid the price for me. He paid the price for you. And we just celebrate today the love of our Christ and our Lord.
Let it be Jesus, the first name that I call. Let it be song inside the
thank you, God, that in your great mercy, you poured out your love. You poured out your grace. You poured out your mercy. And Father, you said that we are made right, that we are made whole, that Father, you restored us back, the scripture says, to a friendship with you, to a relationship with you, God, where we can boldly, boldly enter into your presence, where we can boldly look to you, God. We can boldly, Father, enter into the throne room of heaven, Lord, because you made us righteous, you made us whole. And Father, this morning we are thankful, we are grateful, and we pour out our thanksgiving on you. We pour out our love on you, and we say, Father, your glory is so beautiful.
My life is yours, and my hope is in you, and my heart you hold, 'cause you made this sinner.
Thank you for your love. Thank you, Father. We have hope because of you.
Thank you. all of it away and give us true life in you, God. What we have access to in your spirit, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you so much, God. We celebrate our relationship with you today. We celebrate your presence here. We love you so much. We give you all the glory today, God. Amen.
Good job. Y'all can clap. It's okay to do that in church. Jason, that was a good rap. Didn't understand anything, but it sounded good. Well, welcome to Christian Super Bowl Sunday. Glad you're here. You glad you're here? I was thinking this morning that a few years ago, it was Easter came on my dad's birthday, and today's my birthday, so I was just thinking about, don't get to celebrate an Easter Sunday like that sometimes, but thank you. It hit me. We'll celebrate Jesus, then y'all can shower me from gifts when all this is over. But we... I was thinking about what the scripture says, that if there be no resurrection, then all of our preaching is in vain. And if we had hope in this life only, we would be of all people most miserable. And for all of you here with us today that have lost a loved one, maybe you've lost them recently or years ago, I just want to pause for a moment and give God such thanksgiving that over 2,000 years ago, he sent his son that he could die on the cross and that he would go to hell for us, and he'd come out of there king over death, hell, and the grave. And from that moment on, there's never been a time that we can ever say that anyone has been separated from the love of God, and that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Father, we thank you that we know that there are so many saints who've gone before us. And Lord, we are treading where they had trod. Lord, we are here today because of others that paved the way for us. And we just want to say thank you for sending your son. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you, Lord, that we know that all of our loved ones are with you, and that one day we will all be reunited. And everybody said amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. St. John chapter 19. Before I read this passage of scripture, I want to give you a update of where this we take up for in this scripture. When Jesus hanging on the cross, after he'd been beaten, after he'd been scourged, after he had gone through what most of the time people died by going through that. Most of the time, the reason that Pilate had Jesus scourged is because he thought really he would die in the scourging and he would not have to send him to the cross, because most people died during the scourging, but he didn't die. And so when you see him hanging upon the cross, and you, I don't want to paint too ugly a horrid picture, but the fact of the matter is, this is what really happened. And Jesus is on the cross, and he's just a bloody mess. He's been scourged. He had such tension and depression that hit him in the Garden of Gethsemane that he even cried out to the Father himself, and he asked him if there be any other way to let this cup pass from him. But as he continued to pray, he realized his destiny was here. He realized what he had to do and what he had to go through. So he said, Father, not my will, but thine will be done. And so then he's praying in such a way that the pores of his skin opens up, and he sweats great drops of blood. And he's scourged, and he's crucified. He's nailed to a cross, and he's hanging there with all this brutality, with all this stuff that's gone on in his life, and he begins to say some things. And the first thing he cries out, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he he said something else. Two criminals, one on each side of him, and one began to mock him and say, if you're really the Son of God, won't you take yourself down from the cross, and while you're at it, how about saving us too? And another one looked at him and said, you know, you don't know what you're saying. We're paying for a crime that we did, but this man has done nothing wrong. And Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. And then he looks at his mother, who's at the foot of the cross looking at her son. What a horrid thought that could possibly be. And he looks at her and says, woman, behold thy son. And then he looks at John, his beloved disciple, and he says, John, behold thy mother. In other words, take care of my mother. I want to make sure that when I'm gone, that she's taken care of. And so he says, take care of my mother. And then he cries out, he says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because you see, on the cross, in the book of Hebrews, there's a statement made about Christ. And the thing that he regretted the most, the thing that was going to hurt him the most, was the thought that for one fleeting moment, that his father could turn his back on him. Because you see, the Bible says that God is too pure of eyes to behold iniquity. And in that moment, Jesus became sin. Didn't do sin, he became sin. And so everything that needed to be paid for, every price that needed to be paid, the supreme price that needed to happen, it was put on Christ. And at that moment, the Father turned away from him. And for that fleeting moment, Jesus was all alone. And he says, why have you forsaken me? And then Jesus, it says in verse 28, Jesus knew that his mission was now finished and fulfilled scripture. He said, I am thirsty. You see, Jesus is the one who said that if you come unto me, if you drink what I have, you'll never thirst again. But yet he on the cross is saying he's thirsty. Why is he saying he's thirsty? Because he had become sin. And now he's thirsting for what needed to come after that. And then he says, a jar of sour wine was sitting there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. And when Jesus tasted it, you see, when he tasted that wine, when he tasted and he saw that it was on the hyssop branch, and that it reminded him, I know, of the Passover when the children of Israel about to be delivered out of Egypt. And he says they took hyssop and they branches and they dipped it in the blood and they put it over their doorpost. And Jesus knew that he was the supreme sacrifice. And when he saw what was going on, he knew it's over. It's finished. And then he cries out. Now, when he says it is finished, Matthew, Mark, and Luke give it in a total different way. He didn't just say it's finished. It was a triumphant cry of victory that every sin that needed to be atoned for, past, present, and future, was atoned for. And so it's a cry of victory. He says, it is finished. I have done my part. It is over. And then he says, and he commended his spirit to God. He gave it up. No, you can't take the life of an eternal, almighty God. He had to commit his spirit to the Father. He had to give it up. And so after that, it says it was the day of preparation, and the Jewish leaders didn't want the bodies hanging there the next day, which was the Sabbath, and a very special Sabbath because it was Passover. So they asked Pilate to hasten their deaths by ordering their legs to be broken. Then their bodies could be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of two men crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. This report is from an eyewitness giving an accurate account. Isn't it amazing how sometimes we read over these scriptures and we wonder, did this really happen? He's saying this is an accurate report. Somebody really did see that. He speaks the truth so that you also can believe. These things happen in fulfillment of the scriptures that say, not one of his bones will be broken. And they looked on the one they pierced. When you read the commentaries of what this represented when they came to him, and for no reason, he's already dead. There's no reason for this soldier to do this. But maybe he's just that angry. Maybe he's just that mad. Maybe he's just, I don't know what was going on in his mind, but he takes his spear and he thrust it into his side. And it went into his heart. And out came blood and water. And when you read most of the commentaries, they'll say what Jesus died of was a broken heart. What he died of was a broken heart. When I think about the blood and the water, I think about that old, old hymn. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the blood and water flow. From thy womb did side that flowed. Be the death to sin and shame. All for me, he made me pure. And it's over. And he's dead. Some of you here, there's always this that happens before I go any further. I feel prophetically to say this. This always happens in life. There are births and deaths and resurrections. Always. Things come in our life that's new. Things die in our life. There's always a resurrection. I heard years ago that there's always the birth of a vision, the death of a vision, but there's always the resurrection of a vision. And so Jesus is dead. And they come and get him and take him to a borrowed tomb. Wasn't no sense in buying one. Wasn't going to be there long enough. And so they, chapter 20 of St. John, it says, you ready? Early on Sunday morning. Early. I wish I could preach like a black man. Oh, I wish I could do it. Early on a Sunday morning. While it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, they've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him. Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter because he was the youngest. And he reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the other cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that Jesus must rise from the dead. So they went home, and they're still confused. But Peter goes in, and there's a head wrapping, and it's folded up, and it's laid by itself. Because, see, Colossians says that he is the head of the church. And so what he did was completely done. And they folded up that head napkin, and it was done. The Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead folded the head napkin. Are you with me this morning? Folded the head napkin and laid it aside. But the robe was just lying there. Was just lying there. Because Jesus said his job was done. Now I'm waiting on somebody, somewhere, some church, some beings, some people to fill that robe. And see, that's what we're doing today. We're filling that robe. We're putting on the robe that he left because we're going to go about and we're going to complete what he started. You see, Jesus said, and he said it's finished. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. He's been sitting there for a long, long time. The only one time he ever stood up, the Bible says, and that's when one of his precious saints was being martyred and Stephen was being stoned to death. And it says, and Jesus stood up and looked over the balconies of heaven. And he said, look at him. He's filling that robe, Lord God. He's doing what I said on the cross. Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And Peter, looks out. Stephen, rather, and says, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Well, how's this going to happen? How can we possibly say that we're going to fill the robe that he wore? How can we do that? I'm glad you asked that, because I'm going to read some verses from the book of Colossians, which has become, over the last month, my favorite book. I mean, it's my favorite book of all books. This is my favorite book of all books. I like it better than anything else, and you're going to like it too when you see what it says. Are you ready? How are we going to do this? Colossians 1 verses 12 says, we pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you have an understanding and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father that he has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people. Now, I like this translation, but I don't like they put people there because all the other translations put saints. I like saints. You see, you've heard me say, I ordained myself a saint a while back. I got a book called All These Saints that were canonized and made saints. And some of them did like one thing in their whole life and they become a saint. Mother Teresa's about to come into sainthood. But you see, the fact of the matter is once that you have accepted Christ and have been brought into his family, you go from sinner to saint immediately, and you don't have to do anything. You're a saint. And I looked up that word saint in the Greek is the word hagios. Hagios, which means consecrated, set apart thing. The other flip side of that is sinner, which is hagos. There's only one letter separating from being an awful thing to a precious thing. It's one word, one letter, I. What am I going to do with what Jesus did for me? And all I have to do is to accept what he has done for me. And I go from sinner, hagios, awful thing, to hagios, precious thing. He rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. He purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. He rescued you from darkness to light. What does that mean? He rescued you from a dark, alienated mindset to a positive light mindset. He brought you out of a darkness thinking into bright thinking. The light come on in your head. You ever seen the little pictures of the light bulb over somebody's head? Well, if you could see you this morning, there's a light bulb over all of your heads. Your light has come on. He transferred you from this darkness into light. And then he forgave all of our sins. He just all of them, past, present, and future. And then it says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He made God visible to us. He said, you seen me? You've seen the Father. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth, and he made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms, authorities. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. By his word, see, Hebrews says that Jesus came in the volume of the book. What's that mean? He came in the volume of the book. It means that wherever you look from Genesis to Revelation, you see Christ. You see Christ. I mean, it's all about him. Without him, there was not anything made. He holds it all together by the power of his word. That's the reason that when you look at the scriptures and you see in Genesis, he's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he's a Passover lamb. Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he's a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's our lawgiver. In Joshua, he's a captain of our salvation. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. In Kings and Chronicles, he's our reigning king. In Esther, he's our Mordecai. I'm too old for all this. In Matthew, he's the Messiah. In Mark, he's the wonder worker. In Luke, he's the Son of Man. In John, he's the Son of God. In Acts, he's the Holy Ghost. In Romans, he's our justifier. In Galatians, he's our redemption from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, he's the Christ of unsearchable riches. In Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. In Titus, he's our faithful pastor. In Timothy, he's the only mediator between God and man. That's good stuff, ain't it? In Hebrews, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But in Revelation, I said in Revelation, oh, I wish I was black. I said in Revelation, he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. He's he that was dead and yet he's alive forevermore. He's the one that walked into hell and grabbed the keys of death and hell. And he came out of there victorious over everything. And today he stands ruling supreme, not just God of heaven and God of earth, God of the whole universe. He's everything to everybody. He's the only one that could pay the supreme price. He's the one who's taken all the sins and all the gifts. And he's the one who says, I'll reconcile everything back into the Father, because I'm going to pay the supreme price for it. Yeah. He says in verse 19, for God in all of his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. You believe what you want to believe, but I want to believe this. This includes you, who was once far away from God. You were his enemy, separated from him by your evil thoughts and desires. Listen, some of you know this. Most of you don't know this. I ain't seen you in so long. You don't know this, so this is something new for you. This Greek word is poneros. Poneros means your thoughts of annoyances and hardships and labors. He has delivered me from being annoyed. Did you like that, Keith? Some of you got annoyed this week. That was your fault. Barbara can never say, Bjorn, you annoy me. I can't annoy you, girl. I can't. My Poneros mind is gone. I have a sanctified mind. I can't annoy you anymore. Aren't you glad of that? I can't annoy you. He's reconciled everything. Verse 26 says, this message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. I wish that was true. The first part is, and the second part is partially true. Because, see, there's still some people, even in the church, this hasn't been revealed to. It's still hidden. What's hidden? Holy, thank you. God has given me the responsibility of serving His church by proclaiming His entire message to you. Not part of it. Say entire. Oh, we try, church. We try to give you the entire message. And I fell so short of giving you the entire message, but we're going to keep on trying to give you the entire message. And we're going to give you a little bit of it this morning. A little more entirety. Oh, I wish I was black. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. You ought to be shouting on that one. Gentile thing, you. Aren't you glad you've been grafted in? That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's power that works in me, because He wants us to present you to God perfect in your relationship with God. You see, people are still in the dark. They say, I want more of God. You can't get more of God. You got all the God you can get. He's present in you. You can't get any more perfect than what Christ has done for you on the cross. He has perfected you forever. Forever. And see, when you live out of that posture, you'll see yourself living a much more effective life when you see yourself as who you really are. See, Christ came not to start a religion. Christ didn't come to start a movement. Christ came to redeem you and to bring you back to your original purpose. He came to bring you back to who you really are. So in chapter 2:14, it says, He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to His cross. What? I'm innocent. You're innocent. He took the record of the charges against you and nailed it to His cross. When did He do that? Over 2,000 years ago. You see, forgiveness is for all of creation. We just have to awaken ourselves up to it and realize it's here. Now here's this next verse. I didn't write this, okay? I didn't make this up. Let me juice up before I get into this. I like this one. In this way, He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by His victory on the cross. We got to stop preaching a defeated devil back into business. He is gone. He is gone. Now, we got a young kid in our church named Ty Strickland. And this was a post about some random theology by Ty Strickland. He's 7 years old. He's going to help me preach this morning. Are you ready? Here's a seven-year-old. Say seven-year-old. I know 70-year-olds don't know this. Here's a seven-year-old. Mom, you know the devil doesn't have any power anymore, right? Yes, I know. Me. Ty. Some people are still scared of him. But Jesus defeated him when He rose from the dead. Yeah? You're right. Ty, it's like when I was little and I would get so mad and yell mean things when y'all got on to me that was bad. But once I calmed down and knew it was wrong, I apologize. It's really just the devil in our minds who makes us act certain ways. The devil that Jesus defeated has no power. Ty, you're so much smarter than many people I know. Yeah, we can go home and watch a movie on tornadoes or history. 7-year-old just spat out more theology than most people even know. So let's just go home and watch some tornado movies or something. In other words, devil ain't got no power. I said the devil ain't got no power. I said the devil ain't got, I wish I was black. I said the devil ain't got no power. I said the devil hadn't got no power. Said the devil, let's get it over here. The devil hasn't got no power. The devil hasn't got no power. Come on, y'all get with me. The devil hasn't got no power. 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 The devil, come on. The devil hasn't got any power. It was, she was stripped, and Jesus led a vanquished, all of the demons, and the devil was behind him marching through the streets of glory saying they are all defeated. Well, how come we keep resurrecting him? He's not the one that was resurrected. Jesus is the one that was resurrected, not the devil. He was defeated. I ain't done. Let me get back over here. Then I'll get back over there. But he said, are you ready? So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies on Sabbaths. These rules are only shadows of reality yet to come. Christ himself is that reality. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they have had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud. They are not connected to Christ, the head of the body. He holds the whole body together with his joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of the world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. See, it's not don't. It's do. Most Christians know what not to do, and they have a religion, a spiritual religion built upon thou shalt not. And they don't know they've been called to be. And they're to live out of a posture of who they are now, sanctified, set apart, holy. Sainthood is who you are. Pharaoh was defeated. He drowned in the Red Sea. He was a type of the devil. The Israelites did not have any more trouble with Pharaoh. The Israelites' problem they had was not Pharaoh. The problems they had was right here. Your problem's not with the devil. Your problem's right here. Right here. Spies went into Egypt, 12 of them, two of them came out, and they said, we can do it. But then they said, we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. In other words, whatever you think is what is. If you think you're a grasshopper, hello, grasshopper. If you think you are, but if you think differently about yourself, you'll see differently about yourself. And so finally, the Israelites for 40 years wander around a mountain year after year after year. And the Bible says that when that generation had died, when that generation was gone, what generation? The generation of unbelief. A generation didn't believe who they were. A generation didn't believe that God was their God. And there he had delivered them out of bondage. When that generation had died, they came back to the same promised land. You may be here this morning. You've been around this mountain. You've come to this promised land many times. Are you going in this time? Are you going to go in? Joshua was one of the two, him and Caleb, that came back and said, we can take this thing. We can take it. Joshua gets back to the land. Moses is dead. Joshua raises up. He sends in two spies. He's going to get it right this time. He's going to get it right this time. Just let me milk this for a moment. This is hot. It's sizzling. This is hot off the grill. You ready? Send in two spies. Out of his side came blood and water. And he redeemed the church. And the first Eve came out of Adam's side. And the second Eve came out of Jesus' side. And now we have a church of the living God with the same blood, the same power, the same spirit that flowed out of his side became the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said in Colossians, when they finally went in, the two spies heard this. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth beneath. Since, last verse, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, let your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven and not the things of the earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. I want to read this to you out of the original Greek translation. You don't mind me doing that, do you? See what that really says? Because some of you are looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. What does that mean? I've been risen with Christ. What does that mean? It means this. You are, in fact, raised together with Christ. Now ponder with persuasion the consequences of your co-inclusion in Him. Relocate yourselves mentally. Engage your thoughts with throne room realities where you are co-seated with Christ and the executive authority of God's right hand. My goodness gracious. You are co-seated with Him next to the right hand of the Father. Your resurrection is now. Your resurrection, your promised land is now. Maybe you've come to this place before over the years and you came up right up to it, but for some reason you didn't just step on out. I want every head bowed, every eye closed just for a moment. You're here today and you want to acknowledge who you really are in Christ. You want to accept the fact that you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and you want to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and become all that He has called you to become. Would you just slip your hand up in the air? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. See those hands. God bless you. Anyone else? I want to stand together for a moment before Will comes. I want us to stand. Can we just rejoice for people who said they'd rediscover their true identity today of who they really are? You know, the Bible says there's more rejoicing in heaven over one person who comes to repentance than over 99 righteous. Don't you think it's time that we stand together? And as we stand in unison together, as we stand together as the body of Christ, I want us to stand together with this thought. I'm going to accept and I'm going to believe what the scripture says about me and not what anyone else says about me. Not even what I say about myself. You know, I talked to Barbara the other day, and I was headed to the doctor with my knee, and she said, let me know how it's going to come out. And I said, I can tell you that now. It's going to hurt, and I'm going to limp out of there. And I thought, after she hung up the phone, I thought, wow, did I just say that? And I said, Lord, I want to repeat. Aren't you glad you got redos? Aren't you glad every day is a new day and you got a new 24? I said, I'm going to go in there and it's not going to hurt and I'm not going to come out limping. And I sat on that table waiting. Sorry, David. Waiting. That wasn't David. Here's another doctor. You don't wait. Hit there. Get in there quick. Waiting. And while I'm sitting there waiting, old thoughts start coming back of the week before. Ooh, it hurt. I got to think about when I got down off the table 1 week before. Walked out like this. Thank you, Doc. Appreciate it. If I sat on that table, them thoughts come and I said, it ain't going to hurt. And I'm going to walk out of here. I'm not going to limp out of here. I'm going to walk out of here. You know what happened? Didn't hurt. I didn't limp out of there. This is just for some of you who's never heard this. And I'm going to close. On the back of your shirt, there's a label. And that label says, made in so-and-so, made in so-and-so, or by a certain company. Ain't but two people can put a label in your shirt. Two people. Whoever made that, or whoever bought that. Probably says made in China, more than likely. But some company in the United States purchased it. And they put their name in it. Right? Ain't but one person can label you. And he's the one who created you and bought you. He created you and he bought you. So rejoice today that the only person who can label you is God Almighty. You know what he says about you? You're a saint.
We needed to give you some new information, because about 25% of you give online, and you can still go to the website and give that way, but an additional way that you can do is want to get used to Push Pay app, you can use that, do that. It's pretty simple, very simple. What I'm really excited about is in about 3 to 4 weeks we'll be able to unveil to you and give to you for free, or you'll actually be able to download it from the Apple Store or the Google Store, is our own Eagles Way app, and which is very cool. It is, not only will we be able to give from the Eagles Way app, we'll be able to stream the videos, services, you will be able to the blogs that are done, you'll be able to see those, and we'll, if you choose, we will be able to send you push notifications of things that are coming up, so very excited about that. Within your bulletin was a lot of information, but probably the most important thing that was in there was this connection card, and so if you have that, you can make sure that you fill that out, whether you're a member or whether you're a visitor. If you're visiting, just either an email address or a telephone number. We won't call you on the phone. We would text to you. Or if you would like an email, we'll connect with you that way. But if you want to get involved in anything, all of that information is on that card. So when the offering bucket comes by, you can just drop that card in, and it allows us to communicate with you. Prayer requests go on the back. Each and every time, those prayer requests are prayed for, okay, each week. So make sure that you fill that out. Also within that is our little bulletin. Anybody didn't get a bulletin and needs one of these, has an Eagles Way sticker on it, you can throw your hand up real quick. Our ushers are prepared. There's one right here. I'll go ahead and give that to you. Any other hands? Great. I'm glad everybody got one that needed one. But it's good stuff. It's good stuff that are taking place. You come. For our ushers, will begin. I tell you what, right before you do that, we do know that it is Easter, and we found out that the Easter Bunny found out that it was Pastor Buren's birthday. He's actually been really excited about it being on Easter for a long time. So these Easter Bunnies in the back would like to come forward and give Pastor Buren a... if you'll join us up here, Pastor Buren. They're going to give you a Easter basket birthday present that they made for you. This is the fifth grade class. Or whether it's cash or check that you turn, we have more giving units at Eagles Way than we've had in a very, very long time. And listen, it's worth clapping over. We have more and more testimony of the goodness of God, of what their giving, their faithfulness to giving is doing in their life, and the changes that are taking place. So if you are not, you don't have to give because Eagles Way has to have your money. You need to give so that you can be blessed and watch God move. If you have a circumstance in your life that you're praying about, begin giving in that area, and you'll see God move completely. The alms box is down front this morning. We do that on the last Sunday of each month. So when we start this next song, if you want to come and to give that, we have over $20,000 each year that comes in through our alms that we use to do the work that we do within this community. Serving at Rushton Hope, we pay for a meal that has served over 300 people. We have lots of you that are giving of your time and your efforts. So if you may not be able to get out on a Saturday, you may work on a Saturday, you can't be at Rushton Hope, you're giving to Rushton Hope or other ministries within this community when you put your alms here in this box. God's a good God. We love you. Our visitors that are here, we would like to give you a gift as you're leaving. They're going to be sitting on the information booth. Grab one of those. If you're a member and you didn't know we gave these out, you can grab one too today. So they'll be there. Let's stand and let's worship.
Don't count anymore. All praise to you. don't count.